So, someone want to go into another topic?
Yeah, I went to bed.
Can I talk about the same topic, Bob?
Sure, yeah. Don, you can tell me any damn thing you want to. Roxy does.
Thank you. Thank you, Ion. Ion, help me walk through this negative interest rate thing.
Okay, here it goes, just like this. Here's how it goes. Things, there's so much money out there that money has no value. Okay, money is time. Time is money, remember? Well, we
okay,
keep saying
that. Okay, now stop. Can you stop right there? Can you stop? Money has no value. All right, in the big picture, maybe money has no value. But to little people...
No, no, in the small people, it has no value. Money is debt. That's what money is. What do you do with money?
I mean, okay, so if the banks continue...
No, stop. You don't know what you're saying. You're saying for little people, money does have value. And we say, okay, little person, what do you do with money? What do you do with money? No, you don't spend it. You exchange it for your...
things of value, things with real value.
Things you want.
No, that's not true. It's for your debts. If you go to the store and you get a loaf of bread, you have to pay for it. That's you owe the man for the loaf of bread you're going to take out of the store. So you are paying a debt with money. Money is debt.
Okay, paper is used as a transfer.
And the only reason they have money, if money had no value, just like the rupee or the lira, if you have lira and it's not exchanged and it has zero value and it's no longer debt, it's canceled.
Okay, so
that's what happens in Jubilee years.
But that implies then that money isn't necessary for trade.
It never has been. RNA drops is the only money that's ever been, ever. You're just catching up using other vicissitudes to prove your platitudes. And that's okay. Well, that's the reason we keep saying over and over and over, we're just waiting on Bob. He's got the football. Bob's got the football. When he pushes the button, that's it.
Now, I want to bring in the word value because I can agree in my little man head that RNA drops have greater value than anything on the planet now.
Today.
Okay. So from that premise, RNA drops... is the most valuable commodity that exists in this system.
Today.
So today there is still this exchange system that uses paper money.
No, you don't. You don't use paper money. Have you recently purchased RNA drugs?
I have.
Did you hand someone paper money to get it?
No, I gave someone my number.
Ah, your numbers. Oh, the fly chickens. There's a nefarian of it.
So now we're back to the numbers keep going up and down, and if the numbers continue to keep going up and down, that doesn't change, then there are some people involved in the stock market that are placing value on the numbers. The numbers are important to them. They place value on that that isn't real like the RNA drops. And that's still going on today.
Sometimes.
Are you saying that that stops, that the people placing value on numbers?
Well, when you find out that there is no time, then there is no money. So if you owe a lot of money, then you don't pay much back. Okay? They're hedging. They're basically shorting the system by saying there is no money. It's all an illusion. So owe all of the money because there's no money. Sign a note, sign a chip, sign a bill, sign me something. Because there's no money, and they're all banking on the come. Now everybody's watching and bank on the come. They'll give you a house, and you don't even have to pay for it anymore. How ridiculous is that? Why in the world would you live in a house that you didn't own? Silly.
We're all trading on the future.
That is based on time, which is non-existent. Therefore, money inherently is doomed, because it's time. Now, time is money. Ask anybody. You can look it up in the Wikipedia. There's time is an exchange of money.
Are we observing the collapse of time?
Yes, the implosion. The inversion of time, yes. Good. Very clever of you.
As our scientists report this in the media, or as things comes out in the media, that proves
scientists.
That does not exist.
Scientists, that's so funny. Y'all act like scientists actually know something. Scientists are just the ones who can't figure out anything. Bob is the best scientist because he knows less than all of them put together. And we still value what he says more than most of that they know. But that's another conversation. We can't pump him up too much. It's early. He'll go to bed if we get him too pumped up.
What should we call him then if we don't call him scientists?
Oh, well, call him regularly. Call him regularly. There you go. Call Bob regularly if you like that.
So back to this. As we discover and incorporate that idea that time doesn't exist, then there's no more futures to speculate on.
Everything is known. And also it stops the procuring of history. There's no more history if there's no more time.
When you talk like that, though, that implies that this all happens in a moment.
It happened yesterday.
Right. We just can't.
Well, it did. Well, and the battle's over. You're just a prisoner of war, and the battle's done. The battle is over. You're still a prisoner of war. You're a POW that can't find his way back home. We're helping. We're doing what we can. It's a white knuckle fight for us, too.
So there is a moment where we are.
Then there's Coco Chanel. Then there's Coco Chanel. What you doing with Coco Chanel?
And we're released individually, on an individual plate. Now you're talking on an individual basis, where money doesn't matter anymore.
From a corporeal position, yes.
From a corporeal. I forgot what that means.
Make Bob look it up. He'll like that. He'll have to wash his hands, though, first.
It means body. Corporeal's body.
Relating to a person's body.
To have a new body. Have a new life. Oh, on that resurrection morning, all the dead in Christ shall rise. I have a new body.
So at some point, it isn't going to make one bit of a difference what goes on. It's not going to make one thing.
I have a new body, praise Lord, I have a new life. Oh, sorry, we're having a little coda.
So back to the stock market now. At some point, is it just not going to make any difference to anyone? We continue to trade, we continue to get by. It almost feels like two worlds, Ion. There's that money, digital, up and down moving. I give up.
Yeah, don't give up, don't you? Don't get fooled by what appears to be
Clearwater Revival. There you go.
Ion, what's new? Tell me what's new, because manipulation of the market has gone on before the market was even created. They created the market. They figured out how to manipulate it before it started. So that's not new. Tell me what's new.
That's right. Recalcia.
Recalcia. That's corporeal. That's the body. That has nothing to do with the digits going up and down in the number.
There are no digits, and there are no going up, and there is no going down. That's all a timed element. There is no time. So you're asking about the timing of when the timing stops. You're saying there is no time, so what's the time that time is, shall be no more? Well, read Revelation. If everything in the sun, moon, stars has told you for sure, completely, all those answers to all those questions. But
you must have forgot. You just told us we're all waiting on the Robert E. Lee. We're waiting. We're still in
that
waiting
cotton.
Period.
That's cotton. Don't you know the difference between cotton and time?
That only has to do with cotton.
That's only about cotton.
Well, I wasn't waiting for cotton. I don't think Mark was waiting for cotton anyway. Now, why are we all waiting for cotton?
Oh, you want it to go up.
And that's going to, what, bring on the collapse?
No, it's going to make sure you have at least 500 thread count Pima cotton sheets. So they'll be delicious and wonderful. So as a god, you can get some really, really, really nice linen.
The only thing I can think realistically, because you keep talking about the caldera too, the only thing that could have a dramatic effect would be geological environment for the United States. So does this, these are two things.
There's something else you can do. Try bowl and branch. That might be great. Until you can get it. Bowl and branch.
B-O-W-L?
No. Bowl. B-O-W-L. L-L.
And branch like the tree.
B-R-A-N-C-H.
An unrivaled sheet experience. Bowl and Branch is an organic bedding company that's taking the industry by storm.
Cotton.
Is organic cotton going to be like the next big thing? Do we have to buy organic cotton stock?
No. You don't have to. You said what is sitting on the levee regarding, and we said good linens. And until that happens, you can get good linens at Bowl and Branch.
I just don't know where to go with this anymore.
No, you're doing great. You're asking esoteric questions of your knowing. So you're saying that you're dividing the rich people from the poor people. You're saying little people still work for money, get money, and fight to survive day by day by day. And we go, bullshit. That's no more the truth than the rich man pining for a new aspic to go through his coarse plated dinner.
So you're observing that little man's just getting happier and happier and has fewer and fewer needs, just enjoying everything that's coming to them. And that's despite anything that goes on in the stock market.
Well, we would say the little man isn't playing in the stock market, so what difference does it make?
Nope.
They're too poor. They haven't got two nickels to rub together, a pot to piss in, or a window to throw it out of. And if they do, they have to thank the goddamn government for giving it to them. So they don't really get a say in what goes on now, do they? So now it comes back to pleasing the light yourself and whatever Bob chooses or decides at the first place, which is where you started from the start place, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't pay attention. They don't understand it. It was set up to be very, very confusing and hard to understand in the first place.
Hard as trigonometry.
Harder than trigonometry. It takes three angles.
Mm-hmm.
3 points.
Let's talk about bolsters. Bolsters are so nice. You know, they have the long, rounded, like the lumbar sham that's covered like a bolster. Those are so nice and a very well bed.
Bolsters.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Pillows.
The sham, the pillows. Or you have the Europeans now. They're going to go away, those 14 by 14. They're 14 inches square. Those are fabulous, too. They're wonderful. And you get a nice, wonderful duvet and a duvet cover that matches your linen. It's just nice. It's just so nice. Very great.
So you're just suggesting don't worry about any of this stuff. Just enjoy your life. Just get the softest pillows
you're
can
having
find
to ask.
Past.
You're having to ask us that. That's interesting. If that's the question you come for us, well,
I know. I'm not asking for me, am I?
If we have to tell you that you should try to get as happy, no, we're saying go eat everything, taste everything that's terrible, and only eat that, and then sleep with people that are no fun to sleep with, and take cold baths, go sleep in a mud hole, and have cocktails in a septic tank, and all that kind of blah, blah, blah. How did you get that far to get that fat?
Thank you. All right, let's talk about getting my house in order for a couple minutes.
Hey, Gene, just a minute. Do you realize that I have been on for about 5 hours? Just think of all the words that I had. All the topics he said. Just think of all the topics I have said the last 3 or 4 hours.
It's just amazing, Bob. It really is.
Stop yakking.
There's just
yeah.
so much.
What's wrong with you, Ian?
And it's every week, too. I rented a car and moved to North Carolina, and I listened to 2 weeks ago straight in the car driving. And I couldn't take notes, and it's unbelievable.
Not gonna
There's
work.
Just so much stuff in there. And
I just keep yakking away.
Oh, God.
Who said knock on wood?
I don't know. Someone say that?
Knock on wood.
I guess I had said it. Okay, now we're gonna clean up Gene's house.
They're out of the King fitted sheets, but they'll be back April 15th, so you can go ahead and place your order.
Ion just told me to quit asking questions for other people and to ask my own questions. Is that what you just told me, Ion?
You better know it, otherwise we're going to start talking about them instead of you.
So I'm creating my house. I'm getting my house in order, Ion, and I want to go with wood floors. Would you agree with that? We've looked at everything. Yes. I want wood floor.
But don't, very good, but don't do that crazy Brazilian pine, the Brazilian cherry. Don't do that.
We're not going to get into the fancy French stuff either.
Oh, now, some of that fancy French stuff is fun because, they, see, if you're using dollars, you can buy from the world because you get 10 times more. It's an 18.
Whatever you do, don't do Brazilian pine wood ever, bit.
Cherry, don't.
What's wrong with, Carolyn, tell me, what's wrong with
this stuff? It's too soft. It's too soft.
And oh, I can't do a pine floor.
Somebody hysterical attack, and Ion admonishing you about Brazilian pine wood as he would a caldera eruption.
Or an antibiotic, or taking antibiotics. Don't take antibiotics. Don't take antibiotics. Don't take antibiotics.
Everything has the same weight. Everything means the same.
Right. All things the Occam's razor, always.
I care more about my floor. What am I doing talking about the caldera, for goodness sake?
Okay, but now, and mahogany is good too, but it's very soft, and you got to be careful. You're talking about long term. You don't want to do this again next Tuesday. You want to get something
durable. I know, that's why I don't know about the veneer.
Do not get pre-finished. Do not get veneer. Don't get veneer. Veneer's not going to hold up. Don't do it. Get solid wood flooring, have it installed, and then have it finished. Now, if you want to do inlaid,
really?
Marquetry inlay and really go over the top, you can have somebody, the Herder brothers did some floors that just curdle your milk. I mean, it was over the top. Straw banded inlay, you can write things in it in the veneers of the wood and cut into it. Now these veneers are like 3 inches thick, real veneer. But you can do some crazy over the top. Then you sand it, then you can seal it, then you can poly it, then you can wax it, and it's fabulous.
And it, okay, and I can do a lot of that myself, can I?
If you want to. Now, the sander is going to be a bitch because you have to really get everything out of your house.
No, I'll get the boys. I got two 23-year-olds to handle the sander. I'm not going to do the sander.
No, I mean get the stuff out of your house to install it.
It's going to be completely empty. We're starting from scratch.
In time, there's no worries. But you've got to make sure that you're... Go solid wood, at least 3/4 inch. And you also want a decker board under that.
But we want to get the thermal flooring, the thermal heat for underneath flooring. Is that going to work with that much wood?
Why?
Because it's a cement floor and it's cold. I don't want cold feet. And I can't do in-floor heat. Unless
Then you need a breathing space between the wood floor. You need crawl space in your house. You don't need board floors. You'll have termite trouble.
I already have cement floors.
Raise them up.
You're saying put in floor heat in and then raise the floor over the put the water tubes. Put the actual in floor heat with the water tubes.
Right, because you're going to lay that on top of concrete anyway. If you already have concrete floors, are you not?
I have a layer of concrete. And what I'm hearing is put the tube down, put another layer of concrete on top of that.
And I'm saying do not do that. Put your flooring in, because now you're only heating concrete. We're saying don't do that. We're saying if you're going to do that ridiculous, inappropriate way of heating, it's silly to do it that way. But if you're going to do it that way, you can raise your floor and put the duct heat so that the heat comes from the floor anyway, and you won't have cold floors, and it won't be cold because of the cement that you're on now, the ambience of it. Raise it up and put heat between the cement and the hardwood floor. Go 6 inches up, you got room for ductwork and everything else, and you can have forced air. And it'll be nice. You can have a nice, comfortable house. And then the space between the 6 inches between the floor and the concrete.
Help me drop this image then. Forced air dries me out. It dries out my nose and everything. I'm putting my wood stuff
in. Oxygen dries you out. It oxidizes you. You're now in a world that's going to be hydrogen driven, and it won't. And if you want to put wood stove, put a damn kettle of water on top of it.
Yeah, I do that.
Watch your hair frizz.
So you're suggesting don't do the thermal flooring. Put my ducts on the floor.
You've got to heat your house by a wood stove then you should save the money it takes to put in that ridiculous thermal floor crap and just buy energy.
Gene, how was the wood stove going to heat the flooring?
If I didn't have a cement floor already, you can set up in-floor heating. And it's you run water tubes in your floor before you put the cement in, before you lay it. And you run hot water through, and it heats the cement, and you have a warm floor, and then it heats the whole house from bottom up because heat rises, and it's the cement floor that's actually heating your house, and you don't have dry air blowing.
Until over time, with expansion and thermal conductivity, crack, they bust, and then the water...
Happened here.
The concrete, that's right. And they can't find it, and they're digging up a bedroom trying to find where the water leak was because it erodes all the dirt out from under it.
Three times.
You'll like that. You'll like
really?
That.
Really? So I thought of there's kind of an intermediate product, which is thermal flooring, and it's like a layer of little electric wires that runs heat underneath whatever flooring you put on, wood or tile or whatever flooring.
Have you ever considered house shoes?
Okay, fine. Some floors. I always have a basement ion, and this is my first time with no basement.
You should have a basement. Dig a basement under that. Tile the concrete up and start over.
No, not yet. Step by step here. You just got to get me in with my copper bathtub. Did you see the gigantic copper bathtub I bought?
We love it. We love it. We love it.
Isn't
when you put the salt in that copper, it'll clean it. It won't ever dirty. It's great.
That's what we read. The salt and the copper cleans itself. Which is pretty cool. I'll probably wipe it down.
Use a soft cloth.
Well, all right.
It is soft, it'll scratch.
So I have to...
Like, don't polish it with anything. Forget that damn thermal flooring. You're going to spend a fortune and you're not going to get anything. It's not going to be heated enough. Okay. If that's going to be your only heating element, in order for it to get your house hot enough, the floor has to be so damn hot you can't walk on it. It's ridiculous.
It wouldn't be my only heating element, but you're saying it's not worth it as a supplement.
You're spending a fortune to get just a tiny little bit of ambient heat. What you could do is you could get electric socks and put on your feet, and then you wouldn't have to heat your house at all. The heat from your socks would warm your feet and warm your body in your house, and you wouldn't have to heat it all. And all it would cost you is the batteries that it takes to run the electric socks. Problem solved.
And wear a hat, too. 40% of your body heat goes out your head. So wear a hat, a little woolly hat.
You can get an electric, those little pouches that you squeeze hot hands. It's a chemical. You shake it up and put it on the top of your head, and it keeps your head even hotter. You get even thinner. Then you'll have to go get under the concrete to get 54 degrees and fill yourself off.
If I don't buy the thermoflooring, I can put that money into a real wood floor, which is what I really want.
And that's what you do. Raise it up off.
Or into Southern Company.
Well, I know. I want to add into S, but I finally got my house. All right, so Ion, and I don't want to do Lazy Susans in the kitchen cabinets.
They're the biggest waste of space that's ever been.
Isn't it?
What you do is you do the corner cabinet and do pull-outs like a drawer. One pulls one way, the other pulls the other way.
And my cabinet maker will have more time next winter to do the details, the fancy details.
You can buy stock cabinets and then have him come and do the finish work on the doors and on the outside to make them fancier for moldings. Do egg and dart moldings, which are hard to keep clean, but they're beautiful. Use your cabinet man to do your fancy accoutrement rather than in your stock cabinets.
Yeah, but he can do it for pretty good, and he can custom. He can fit the space custom.
Okay.
If I buy stock cabinets, then I got a little, you know, then I got little pocket dimensions.
Well, you only have, no, you don't, not necessarily. You have a finite amount of space. You can give it. They'll make the size of the same thing he's going to do to fill that space. Whatever space is different is another component that fits, and you put it together. We don't care, but you're going to spend $25,000 extra just for finishing. We're saying if you're going to do that, at least get egg and dart.
I'll think about that. I really want it. I'm also to building relationships.
Well, then make sure you get the drawer microwave.
I don't do microwaves, Ion. I'm not going
to
get a microwave.
You need to. You need an end drawer. It doesn't take any space. It's wonderful. You need that for the radiation.
Okay, we're going to take a break, Gene. We're going to let Steve
Thanks,
talk.
Bob. Thanks,
All right,
Ion.
You're welcome.
Hi, Ion.
Hey.
Hello. So I called last week, and Ion had to jump off the phone, and I was asking Bob about a phenomenon that happened to me. What this phenomenon was, it's happened to me three times, probably in the last couple or 2 to 3 years. So the first time it happened, I was at work, and I was looking at my computer monitor, and all of a sudden I saw my vision go blurry. But when I saw my vision go blurry, I saw this circular pattern around the blur mark that looked like prisms. So it looked like rainbows on the edge of the circular pattern. And then as time went on, the circular pattern started to circulate, so spin around, and it started changing shape in front of my face. I didn't feel scared bodily-wise or anything like that. I didn't feel any different. I just visually saw this pattern happen.
Uh-huh. Your skin got clammy. Yeah, it was like a shivery type thing. You know, like when an angel blows on the back of your neck, makes the hair stand up on your neck. It's like that. You did have
Yeah.
But it was fleeting.
What was it?
The feeling or sensation was fleeting.
What was I seeing?
I wish I could tell you all of it because you don't know enough to understand our words for us to explain it. But basically what's happening is there used to be patterns that opened up keys and keyholes. And Bob's sitting on the mantle looking at things through the keyhole, the skeleton key, that's a movie. The ninth gate, that's a movie. Ascension is a show. The star baby is going to be born. And so the symbols that come back to that window are things that humans are starting to bump into. You're not the first, and we're not going to give you all of it right now because we don't want you pumped up or nothing. Although you're hot and you can get it and all that kind of stuff, we don't mean that. We're saying you're all right, but there's a larger dynamic that's coming too that you got to figure out. And this is a first part of a three-phase process that you're going to engage. Last week, we couldn't do it because we had to wait till this week because you're starting to simplify it. You're starting to soften it just a little bit so it's not such a big, red, hot, heated thing. And the first thing you thought something was going on and you're going to die or get sucked all over the world with some three moons and screwed up or have to get butt-fucked by aliens and stuff. You know, and just doing terrible things, but not always is that the case, but now we've gone by and you survived. Isn't that wonderful?
I didn't take it as a negative.
You had the potential to. If you'd went a little further, you might have seen something that occurred to your hair.
Well, the first time, and when it was most extreme, when it started going into this affinity, like symbol-looking thing and spinning in the affinity symbol, I was at work when it was happening, so I kind of had to keep myself calm and not freak out in front of everybody at work. Eventually it went away. The last time it happened was a couple weeks ago when I was kind of going through RNA detox when I was feeling really horrible. I woke up one morning and it started happening again.
You didn't know RNA detox.
Now that you say that, I get what you're saying. My body was just allowing itself to purge something. So it's the best way I can explain it. I was just curious what it was. I tried Googling it the best I could to see if anybody else reported the same thing happening.
No, they are, but we're not talking about it out loud because you're going to let you talk about it for a second because you're safe with it. It can be white knuckling if you're not really careful, but it's okay. It's not a problem. You just got to be aware. It's shifting because, see, you got everything is shifting. Your body's shifting. We still don't know what RNA detox is. This isn't like a yeast product that you have to overcome. This isn't like that. It should always be putting yourself not into a game of stratego, where you're fighting. The little man's fighting. The ascending man. Hell no. This is about the cells in your body. If you're so messed up that you have to detox off RNA drops, go and kill yourself, honey, because it ain't going to last for a minute anyway. That's ridiculous. It should never be a detox effect with that. There's no detox cycle that comes from some poison in your body. Matter of fact, with RNA drops, the more poison you engage, the better off you're going to like it. So anyway, we don't know detox effect. We don't know that. You may be. We're not saying that. People are marvelous. They're quick to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. That helped give me a different perspective.
Okay.
So now the perspective
is we've got over that part, and now you know there's something else to it. Now you know it's going to happen again, and it's not such a big deal. It's not so earth-shattering, as it were. Now, tell us about your feeling in your hands lately. Just lately, you look at your hands, or you feel in your hands, or you squeeze your hand like you're making a fist with something with your fingers.
I don't know if I've noticed anything different lately.
Okay, take a hammer and slam it on the top of your hand between an anvil, and you'll feel something, we promise.
Sure, I don't have a hammer at this moment, so I'll leave that one alone.
And then what happens is, you'll ask us, well, what is that for? And you'll find out that there's always relief when you stop doing that, you see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've really noticed anything different in my hands. I mean, my hands feel better.
You will in time. Last time you had to do this all by yourself. This time we're giving you a little advance notice.
Okay, cool.
When it occurs, just drink some water and nervously wash your hands in cool water. Calmly, but in a nervous motion like Bob does. And you've listened to Bob washing hands enough, you should know how to wash your hands by now. Bob, why don't you make a YouTube of your hand washing physique? Oh, God, he's dead again. Come on. Get the relaxers. Bring him back again. Okay. Why don't you have YouTube demonstrating the right way to watch it?
We're going to call it relapse.
A relapse. But then when they get good at it, we can call it a prolapse. It'll be really good then. A prolapse, Bob. That'll be good. So why don't you have a video YouTube of you washing your hands to show us the right way to nervously wash our hands, Bob? We don't know, but we would like to. What's the matter? Cat got you. Oh, he's washing his hands now. He's got the food going down his throat hole. He doesn't know what to do. He can hear the water running. He's running. He's going to little more left and more left and more left. There you go. Yeah, wash them nasty hands, Bob. Wash them nasty hands. Yeah. Can you see? Get an idea how this goes?
No, I don't wash my hands. I don't make no YouTube. I don't do it. How can I hold the camera and wash my hands at the same time?
The same way you do your YouTube station on Bill's show through the cat cam, where you just sit up at the sink. You know, like when you were showing us how to urinate? same way.
Yeah, I showed everybody how to urinate.
He's very good at that now. We were really impressed.
He's sitting down, of course.
You have to, otherwise it hits the walls, sprays all over the place. You've got to do that. That's right. That's awesome. Absolutely. The only way to play. There you go. Please.
Where's Steve? Back to you, Steve.
Did you need any urination pep talks? We can help you with that, too. Bob helped us a lot.
No, I'm doing pretty good with that.
Okay, open it up. I guess Steve's run his course. You've done it, Steve? You finished?
I think I'm good.
Unknown from Norway. Is that Eru? Or Era?
Eru. Eru. What a way to say that.
What a waste of a mind. Who's from Norway? Norway.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
When I was at the airport, there was a woman who I helped with connecting her phone to get recharged. She had a notebook that had symbols in it. What were those symbols?
Samantha? You mean Samantha?
What?
Her name is Samantha? Is that the one you mean?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You're saying uh-huh like you don't know, or you're saying uh-huh, yes, it was Samantha?
I don't know. I don't remember her name. I don't know
Samantha.
If I got one.
Her name is Samantha. Uh-huh. She's doing research, and she's trying to do some ancient Samaritan Hebrewoid craft. There's lots of our references all over the place, and she's trying to canonicalize or catalog these symbols because they seem to be having meaning.
Do they have meaning?
Of course they do.
Are those ancient Samaritan Hebrewoid symbols?
Yes.
Do people already know how to read them? Haven't they been translated already?
That does.
Are they easily found, those symbols?
We're everywhere.
Is she getting anywhere? Will we be hearing about her soon and her work?
Probably not. She's a paid consultant, so she'll just get paid and go on. Like when they come to love you up, you just leave the money on the nightstand.
Susanna, did you catch any of what the symbols were?
They were very interesting looking.
Like a spirograph, and some had different shapes, and some were kind of oval. Oh, sorry, you weren't asking us. Pardon me.
Go ahead. Please proceed, Ion. That's perfect.
Ion, I'm looking through my symbols, signs, and signets book that I got at the Jurassic Museum of Technology. Is there a section that I could look through that has some of these symbols in it?
No. Will there be any stars in your crown?
Was that what the Hebrew-like symbols were saying? Was that what they translate to?
No.
That I saw? What are the ones that she had that I saw? What does it translate to? What were they saying?
Not translate. They open things.
They open things. So they're like keys? Key to a legend?
Yeah.
Like a legend?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, that's all I had for now.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thanks, Ion.
You're welcome, but you sure you don't have anything else? Why don't we talk about your diet?
Okay, let's talk about my diet. Am I getting enough protein?
No.
I'm not.
No.
How much more do I need to eat? What specific protein?
32 more grams. We don't care, fish. We don't care. Just don't make it be fat. Just make it be clean protein.
Okay.
I mean, you get enough fats. You just don't get enough protein. That's all we're saying. That's what we wanted to say.
Anything else?
Your hair's nice.
My hair?
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, that is one thing I've noticed, that I have grown lots more hair on my head, and it's very thick, silky strands. Very nice.
It's wonderful. Very wonderful. You're doing a good job. This ascending's working out pretty good. Makes the dog howl.
She always barks when I'm talking to you, Ion.
We're beef too, honey.
Okay, well, that bothers people. She's in another room. Anything else, Ion?
No, that's pretty good.
I'm okay. I'm on my levels of Remite and Remag and RNA drops.
Well, are you visceral in your meat set body? Do you feel nice? Are you happy? Do you have good thoughts? Does everything work out? When you raise your hands to the heaven, does it obey your will empirically?
Not all the time.
Oh, well, then you better increase them all a little bit then.
You know, it's odd. I was out of everything for about 2 weeks.
Boy, that's a tale, and it makes you want to get in the bed. Then you have RNA detox then, don't you, honey?
I was having some contrast, yes. It was very strange.
Was
I hadn't felt that way in a long time.
Very disheveling.
It was. It really shouldn't matter whether I'm taking all that or not, how I'm feeling, correct?
Well, shouldn't, and if you've taken it long enough, see, it's a two-edged sword. One says if you've taken enough, you should have enough built up in your system that it wouldn't matter. But the more you have built up in your system, the more you have withdrawal from not having it, because so quickly your body goes, you're killing me, you're killing me, you're killing me, you're killing me. And all these other ambient problems start to kick in, and your body has a response factor. It does, like when you know you're going to the desert, it'll hold water. You'll retain water weight when you know you're going to the desert because your body thinks you're going to starve it to death. So it knows better than you.
But when one gets to the physical two, then it won't matter, will it, whether you take it or not?
Well, then, but then it'll be a different conversation. You'll have bread of life and living water, and you'll be all right.
Awesome.
You're doing a great job, though. Thanks for your support. No, that's what
thank
Bob
you.
Is supposed to say. Oh, Bartles and James, thank you for your support.
And thank you, Ion, for being evoked.
Yay. We're so evokable. Evokable you, evokable you. That's it. Hey, Bob, why don't you play the song in your inbox if you're through eating?
How's Bob holding up? He sounded a little loopy earlier.
He does that. We like that about him, too. You never know what you're going to get with Bob.
I don't want you to play the song in the inbox.
Oh, okay.
Be fun. Give him a nice break.
And you're muted, Bob. There
coming
go.
Right up, Ion. The Cox
yeah,
family.
How nice. How nice. Cox family, Lord Jesus. Happy Easter.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
We're going to play.
Hi, I can finally speak. It's Deb.
Hey, sweet
hey,
Deb. We're going to play you a song. We're going to play you a song right now.
Okay.
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 Ascended because I survived a car ride to Virginia and back with Jean driving.
Is she a fast driver? Reckless?
Well, she likes to look at her phone at the map, which is good so she can see where she's going, and she likes the right tire over on the center line, so I almost had coitus with a semi-trailer, and then we weren't half a mile from my house, and I've never seen this since I lived here, this huge turkey cross the road. Mm. We found that interesting, and then merging onto I-77, there was a big tree branch in the lane merging on, and I said something, so she swerved, and we missed it. But what were those two things about, Ion? Anything?
Connections, just connections. Connections.
To what?
To you and you.
Okay.
The empirical space between you and you.
When we first went in the front door at Monticello, I turned around to look at the front door, and I noticed the most odd-looking statue. It just didn't belong with one other thing in the house, and it was very primitive-looking. And I immediately had this thought that this was the face of Bo or similar to it, and his tongue was sticking out. Was that just me noticing that for a connection with you? Your little way of saying, hi, glad you're here, or what was that?
Yeah, basically, yes. That's exactly right. Very good.
Then in the bedroom where Dolly Madison and James Madison stayed quite a bit, when we were in that room, I started getting very woozy, feeling like I was, I guess you could call it wavy. I didn't see any wavy lines.
A candle in the wind.
What does that mean?
Wavy.
Candle in the... So was I parallel worlding? I don't understand the reference to candle in the
wind. No, it wasn't. It's just the wisping, the synchronization of, wow, what is this, a funny place. I'm to the edge. It's like when you go to the Continental Divide and stand. It's like a rushing, whooshing feeling of like, wow, the expanse is vast.
So that was an interesting drink that the bartender served me. Never heard of it before. Yeah, and I didn't even know there was a Saint Germain liqueur.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Very good.
So, Bob, it was interesting. We were at this really nice restaurant. I had this great young bartender. He was really fabulous at what he does. And I ordered a second drink of what I was having, and he just stopped in his tracks. He was looking down, and then he says, no, I'm not going to serve you that. He said, I have a better drink for you and mine. Just trust me. And so he made this drink, and was like, oh, my God, it's so good. What did it have in it? And he pulled out the ingredients, and it was Hendrick Gin, Saint Germain liqueur, lemon and lime, and what was the other one? Was it mint or cilantro, Ion?
It was mint, not cilantro. There's another one they do with cilantro, but that's a sling.
And this one's called a spunnel, is it?
It's regional and it varies.
So we really partied that night. We felt like we were partying in the spirit of Thomas Jefferson because we found out that he certainly liked to party at his house. I went through 375 bottles of wine in 10 days with Lafayette.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, French wine. So we just concluded that we were partying with Thomas Jefferson that night. That was a lot of fun, so thank you. I did want to ask you about the sorghum syrup and how that benefits the body, and would it benefit me?
It's a more complex sugar, used to the kind of sugars you're fixing to be drinking.
What is going on with this huge weight gain that I'm experiencing? I weighed for the first time in about a year yesterday, and I'm not letting it get in my labyrinth, but I never even weighed this much pregnant. Does this have to do with gravity shifting?
A little bit of grounding, but we don't see it's a problem, but then maybe it's not right, but it's balanced. I mean, you still have your shapely form, do you not?
Yes, but too much around the middle, and I noticed other Ionettes are feeling the same way, that there's like this thicker midsection, even thickening in the shoulders, and I was wondering if you would speak to that.
Mm-hmm. The thickness is becoming a largerness of you.
Well, when does it go back to what used to be, which I'm more comfortable with? This is not a lot of fun getting dressed and trying to look
different. Okay, have less carbohydrates and more protein, more clean protein.
Okay.
And move around a little bit. Dance while you're getting drunk. You'll do better.
I don't think I'll be doing that again for a while.
Hey, chelating alcohol out of your blood takes a lot of calories.
So that's the culprit, huh?
It'll do it, but you are processing the sugar, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, not necessary. I wanted to switch to Atlantis. Why does Ion say Atlantis hasn't happened yet if there's no time?
It's an element of coming. Bimini hasn't occurred yet.
And are the sea levels rising? Does that have to do with the coming of Atlantis?
Maybe.
Would it be accurate to say that that process has begun? That that's a sign of the process?
Okay, that sounds all right. If lots of things are changing. We could say it this way. We could say all the mountains are getting shorter, but that's not really true. The water's just getting higher.
You said that back in 2010. You said the continents that were highest above the sea level would appear more risen, and the lower ones below sea level would appear to be sunk.
Ta-da! Perspective.
You said that Atlantis is perhaps a timing issue. Is that right?
Well, from world to world. You still have time. We don't. So we say it's not happened yet because you haven't noticed it. We say you're God. We're trying to convince you of it. So we say that the timed element, when you're in time, allows you to engage it at a certain level, place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So in your application, makes it a timed event. Like, hurry up, Ion. Well, how can you hurry up if there's no time?
Right.
Same kind of thing.
And Plato used the model of Atlantis to represent a world of perfect order. And he labeled the story of Atlantis literally true. Would it be accurate to say that there's a parallel between the Garden of Eden and Atlantis?
They both are very orderly, yes.
Would Atlantis be only the ascended, or would it be the ascended and little man?
Yes. No, it would just be the
only
ascended.
Only the ascended?
Yeah, only the lonely.
Would you say the Garden of Eden is only the ascended?
Implicitly.
If the tree is the connection, which was brought out in Genesis, between the soul and God.
Okay, the division of the three kingdoms from the roots, the trunk, and the branches. Three kingdoms, it's an example, yeah.
So what would be the connection between soul and God in Atlantis?
Japanese maples.
Underwater?
Japanese maples aren't underwater. They're just little trees.
The myth of Atlantis being totally underwater, is that accurate? Or would that be a representation of...
It's not accurate.
Would it be a representation of the atmosphere turning to hydrogen then?
More likely.
Where am I in the Bible? I think when I asked you in my session, you said you are becoming. You've pointed out names or references to other people. Is there any name or reference in the Bible that would apply to me?
Naomi.
And where would I find Naomi, in which book?
Ruth.
What was she about? I don't remember ever hearing about her.
You.
About me, so just look it up. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Hey, look at this, Deb. The arrival of Naomi and Ruth in Bethlehem coincides with the barley harvest.
Wow, that's interesting.
It means pleasantness.
And barley is just
pleasantness
the protein we use.
Right. Pleasantness of Jehovah, my bliss, my joy, is what Naomi means.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. I'll have to read more about her. I guess she's right?
Yes, it's what Purim's all about.
Purim? Well, how do you spell that?
The happiest day. P-U-R-I-U-M.
Oh, you.
Oh, okay.
You that one. It's the happiest feast of the year.
Oh, cool.
Okay, well, I can't think of any other questions. I have to read a little bit about Naomi and see what I can dig up. Do you have anything you want to say to me?
We said it already.
Okay.
Ion, Wiki took out that second U. You were thinking of vacuum, maybe.
No, we didn't say two U's. It was an echo.
Yeah, it's P-U-R-I-M, it looks like, Deb.
P-U-R-I-M, which
no,
is...
No, P-U-R-I-U-M.
Well, that's a product company, isn't it?
Is this a weight loss company? Is it a facial mask?
Oh, it's a cleanse. Are you saying I should do some 10-day cleanse? Which
No. Nice echo, huh, Carolyn?
Yeah, very good.
Wow.